This is another version where there's some trees. There's a canopy tree, that's the bladder nut. And then there's a serviceberry and a dogwood tree that are sort of what we would call sub-canopy trees. And it's this layering that really makes a difference. Now, the good news is, if I was teaching it just as a straight garden design session here, I would talk about that layering. I would describe that. I did bring some of my books along with me today, just in case you get interested in them. And so my first book was a gardening skills book. It's called The New Gardener's Handbook. The next book that I have coming out is called The New Garden Designer's Handbook, and it's the design version of it. And there's a whole chapter, there's a whole section of that book that talks about canopy, sub-canopy, which are like the smaller trees, understory, which are all of your shrubs and stuff like that, and then the ground plants. And that's your herbaceous perennials, ferns, not just ground covers that spread across the ground, but like, you know, a 6-foot grass to me is a ground plant. It's the herbaceous stuff that goes underneath. And so you start designing things like that. That's what a hedgerow is going to be built like that. But a hedgerow also doesn't have to be a line. So look at this. It curves around the backyard. So if you have a small backyard, this could be a little curvy thing that you could kind of add in there. But it's about that tree. And it's typically not, it's not going to be like the 80-foot oak or the 60-foot maple, right? That's your top canopy. And so that can function within the garden. You can create it around a tree like that. But you really have to get some of these other kinds of mid-level trees in there. And then also, unless you want to have hawks, you know, the hawks will go up in the tall trees, or maybe the eagle, right? There's a lot of bald eagles around here. And then you get down to the shrub layer, and then you work down into the ground layer. And it's about combining these different plants in these different sort of arrangements. And I did want to show a couple of simple plans that basically just give you a sense of the kind of thing that you could do. But these could, based upon the different species that would be in this kind of a design, this could be a very traditional ornamental garden, right? Well, that could be a Japanese maple, and those could be azaleas, you know, and these could, you know, there could be lots of non-natives in it, and it would be a nice design. But if you do it as the habitat design, it's going to be your plant selection. So you kind of think about this sort of arrangement. And another big important piece of this whole thing is the way that these native plantings, especially the habitat hedgerow, will help you create these ecological corridors, okay? So a suburban yard can actually turn into, you know, so here's one version, right? The traditional thing that we may have seen. I have to, you know, full disclosure, I didn't grow up in grandma's garden. I grew up on 4 acres of lawn, and it was my job to mow the lawn. Tina, my sister, can attest to that. And I think that's why I spend most of my career ripping out lawn and creating gardens and stuff like that. So you see a lot of properties that look like the one on the left there, right? There's some trees, maybe there, you know, a little bit of a windbreak on one side or another, and then it's just kind of a lot of open space. Now, what you could do, which a lot of people do, is they turn that lawn into a meadow, or they play around, you know, they can, you know, scrape out as much grass as they can and kind of turn it into something else. Or they could do kind of what we're seeing that in the picture on the right-hand side, where they're making these, you know, on the fringes there, there's these hedgerow zones where there's a density to them. That's the most important thing about a hedgerow, is that it's deep. If you're stuck with just a 3-foot stretch, like 3-foot wide stretch, it's going to be really hard to do it, and you're really not going to be able to do it. You need about 6 to 8 feet to 12 feet to 20 feet with a little depth there, and you really can make it happen, because then you can interplant lots of different things. And so you can see the difference that you come up with when, you know, just the way the property looks different. And the cool thing about it is then these little ecological corridors that you're creating in your own property will connect to the neighboring properties, hopefully, maybe not everybody, but it's a piece of the puzzle. And that's really, in a lot of ways, to kind of get back to the social aspect of a lot of this stuff, that's the way that we're going to be able to do this and change things. You know, there's always going to be people where it's like, I want my lawn, I got my Scotts turf builder, I got you, and some basic shrubs. I like barberry, so I'm going to plant it. I don't care, you know. And that's going to happen. But like the more properties that go from the thing on the left, that turn into the thing on the right, is getting us closer to building an ecosystem that actually would be what you could call more sustainable, and just done right, you know, and then you avoid all the chemical fertilizers and you add compost and don't stray with pesticides and don't do all that other stuff, right? But you can get there. And so the habitat hedgerow is a piece of this larger puzzle, because you can see they kind of got like a meadow garden down by the water. You should definitely never have lawn go right up to the edge of the water. And it's a piece of the puzzle. So it could be a part of your property or a section of the property is kind of what we're getting at here.